The Happening is sneaking up on us, currently scheduled for Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern. And with the Happening comes the launch of Bitcoin's new fungible token standard, the Runes Protocol. Now, everyone who likes milk and money should be paying attention to runes. But if you're wondering what the F is runes, well, you're going to have to listen to today's show to find out. Welcome to Milk Road Radio, the easiest path to get smarter about crypto. I'm Jay Hamilton, joined by my co-host, Kyle Reedhead, and we believe that on-chain is the next online. This is the opportunity. We're here to help you capitalize.
I'll tell you who's helping bring people on-chain. That's WorldCoin. They've just launched their new layer two called WorldChain, a chain for humans. We're going to talk all about that in another chain, another L2, I guess, OKX, a big player. We talked a bunch about Base and what they've done. Well, OKX could be the next Base with their new L2 over on the Polygon stack. Then we've got Solana. They had all those issues we talked about last week. 75% of transactions were failing, supposedly. Well, we'll talk about a patch that they have launched and now things are getting better over in the Solana world. And then airdrops. There's some drama in the airdrop world, but there's also some alpha in the airdrop world that we are releasing and we are here to help you guys with. So we're going to cover that as well as a bunch of other things. And we've launched a new segment inside this podcast called In Case You Missed It, where it's just a bunch of quick hits on some of the top news and just fun things happening around the crypto space.
Giddy up. What a show we got today. Before we jump in, just some exciting news from the Milk Road team. We are hiring right now. So if you love milk and you love crypto and you want to work in one of the coolest teams in the space and maybe get the alpha before everyone else does, you're going to want to join our team. Check it out. We got a newsletter writer role, a podcast manager role, a sponsorship coordinator role. So make sure you go to milkroad.com/careers. We'd love to talk to you if you want to join our team. Also, next week, we've got an exciting event coming up. Kai, tell us what's happening.
Yeah, we're launching our first ever AMA, Ask Me Anything, with the Milk Road Pro Research Team. So for those of you that want to get, you know, maybe you have a ton of questions about crypto, about markets, about what's going on, and you want them answered, and we haven't answered them for you already in this podcast, well, we'll answer them live inside the Discord on April 24th at 12 p.m. EST. This is a pro members only event with the Milk Road Pro Research Team. And so if you are not pro, you should probably go pro, of course. But if you are pro, then we want your questions. So there's a form inside the Pro Discord channel. Make sure to join that and fill out the form in the announcements channel where you can ask all the questions you want. You got to ask these questions before the actual event. So not on April 24th, but beforehand, put in the form. We'll go through them all and we're going to just fire them off and give you guys all the answers you need on April 24th, 12 p.m. EST. We'll see you guys there.
All right, let's start off the show as we always do with the market watch. Kai, what's going on with Bitcoin's price this week?
Yeah, not great things this week. It is down about 10% of the week, but up 3.87% of the day, currently sitting at 63,777.
So, Kai, when we look at this week chart, we see a big drop on April 13th. What happened over the weekend?
Yeah, most of it really came on Saturday, and it was from the news of the escalations of, you know, warfare going on in the Middle East with Iran and Israel, and the markets got spooked, not just crypto, but, well, I guess crypto was actually the only markets that were open over the weekend, so technically only crypto got spooked over the weekend. It turned out that the escalation was not as, I mean, it was brutal, but not as bad as what was predicted on Saturday. So interestingly, markets dumped, and then on Monday, we were kind of waiting to see what was going to happen with the stock market, and the stock market ended up being green, so all of a sudden we went back up and started doing quite well on Monday. And then over this last week, we've just sort of been falling down and down. We had about $2 billion in liquidations across the crypto space, which was like one of the biggest I think we've ever had. So it was a pretty wild weekend and doesn't seem to be getting too much better so far this week.
You know what is coming up tomorrow, Kai? Tomorrow is Bitcoin halving day. Woo woo! Everybody celebrate. The current timeline for the halving is predicted to be tomorrow, Friday, April 19th. That's actually today when you guys are listening to this. So today at currently the projection is 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So it'll be sometime Friday evening. Everybody, I don't know what you do to celebrate the halving. What do you do?
I think you eat a pizza. Pizza and Bitcoin.
Half a pizza.
Yeah.
And then half of the pizza.
If you've seen Coinbase's ad, you get to get more pizza, not half pizza. You actually get more pizza with every halving. So maybe double it up.
That Coinbase ad is amazing, and I am so stoked that they're playing that in the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs. We've got big sports season coming up in the state, and they are dumping millions, as are a couple other large. I think Grayscale's got a big ad coming out too. Okay, other news. Hong Kong has approved their ETFs this week. Kai, there's been some speculation, or what should we expect to come from this? Is this going to be a large inflow? What do you think is going to happen here?
Yeah, so there's three issuers that have been approved on these ETFs. It is good news, of course, that Hong Kong is doing this. I don't expect big inflows from this. They're sort of like no-name issuers. They're not like the big thing about what happened in the U.S. was it was BlackRock, Fidelity, like the big guns. That's not who applied for these and got approved in Hong Kong. And so the inflows are expected to be actually quite low, and they're not as liquid, not as efficient. So I don't think it's going to be as big of a deal. I don't think we're going to bring in hundreds of billions of inflows like we've seen in the U.S. It's also in the Hong Kong market. There is some access to Chinese locals, but it's not the easiest situation. So it's a very complicated system over there. So anyway, it's great news. And we're seeing this happen more and more around the world. I think South Korea is looking to do this, the UK as well. So like big news overall. And of course, it's not all about the inflows like we're seeing in the U.S. as well. It's just legitimacy. And so I think in the Hong Kong financial market, to see that these are approved, it just adds a little bit more legitimacy to Bitcoin in the market there. Though we have someone in our Discord who was telling us, he's like, it didn't really pick up much in mainstream media. You know, in the U.S., there was a lot about the ETFs. This was kind of went under the radar. There was some mentions in the finance media world, but not much in terms of like mainstream. So it's great, but it's not going to be a massive deal.
So nickel and diming compared to the mighty U.S. market. Let's go over to ETH. Kai, what's going on with the ETH price this week?
ETH took it a little bit worse this weekend than Bitcoin did. So down 13% on the week. It started to jump back just in the last 24 hours or so, up 3.28%. Currently sitting at 3,077. We did dip below 3,000 over the weekend. That was a little bit hairy, but if you happen to be able to buy at that point, then good on you.
Yeah, I was going to say, great buying opportunity was what I was saying to Sam this weekend. She was like, why are you working right now? I was like, yo, babe, crypto's low. You got to buy. She's like, what are you doing with like all these like different ledgers and trying to figure out which is which? Oh my gosh, yeah.
Milk Road Treasury bought the dip. We'll give that. Personally, I did too, but of course, Milk Road did too.
I was surprised you didn't bug me to send you your pay earlier this year, this month, Kai. Okay, let's go to, there's a few things coming out of the Ethereum ecosystem that caught our attention and got us excited. Kai, what's going on?
Yeah, Base continues to be a beast. I mean, we wrote the pro report last week and talked all about it and just said how not only is its metrics doing really well in terms of transactions and users, et cetera, that has not stopped, by the way, since we talked about it last week, but so has the developers building on top of Base. It is now 2 to 3 times more than on Ethereum itself. And I think this is the norm. I think most people are now obviously building on layer twos rather than Ethereum just because it's so cheap. But we're seeing this grow on like a hockey stick curve right now. And so one, I think a ton of applications are coming to Base and all L2s to be completely fair, but a lot of activities coming there. And so this is just super bullish for the Ethereum ecosystem overall. So just something to keep your eye on. And then on Ethereum specifically, I mean, that's where BlackRock launched their fund, Biddle. And that continues to see growth. It's almost at $300 million in assets under management, currently sitting at 294, had a nice jump over the last week or so. So it's not just the L2s. The TradFi world is going to want Ethereum, and they are building big funds and things on top of Ethereum as well. So exciting to see. We're kind of coming at it from all angles. Base is building for the crypto consumers, right, in retail. And then you've got BlackRock building on the Ethereum L1 for TradFi. So just a lot happening over there, and I think it's going to continue to be a big deal.
Love to see it. Let's go over to Solana. What's going on with Solana price this week?
Yeah, speaking of dip buying opportunities, Solana is down 19% on the week. I think since its local high, which was something like March 18th, I think, it went down 45% or so. It went below $130, which was it was great. This weekend, so Saturday, we have a pro report coming out on Solana, and I actually wrote in that report this week. Well, I wrote it last week, and I wrote, I think we were at 140 or 150, and I was like, man, this is a great buying opportunity. People are flooding these Solana transactions, but it would be such a treat if it actually went lower, and then boom, it went way lower, down to like 125 or something. So yeah, tough day for, I mean, Solana's sitting at 140 right now, but if you got to buy that over the weekend, that was a treat.
Let's go. I love it when we get so fired up about these dips and these buying opportunities. So sorry if you woke up and saw that your portfolio had dropped 30% and had a minor heart attack. But remember, good things are still coming. It's still early in the cycle. Talking about the cycle, Kai, let's zoom out for a sec. How is this cycle compared to past cycles?
Yeah, I mean, this is the question I actually ask in all of my Market Watch episodes, which come out every Wednesday. So I highly recommend you guys check those out. But Coinbase Institutional just put out a really good chart comparing the last three cycles to this cycle for Bitcoin anyway. And the bull market part of the cycle lasts about 3.5 years. We're 1.5 years currently into this one. And what's interesting, if you look at the past bull markets from the bottom, we saw prices increase. Well, the first cycle was 113x. Okay, ridiculous. The last cycle, I guess, was 19x from the bottom, from the low of the bear market. And so far, we're up a 4x. So pretty damn good numbers, to be honest. And this is, again, why I always say, like, why do people need to go so far down the risk curve and risk losing it all when you can get a 4x and we're not even halfway through this bull run in the most stable crypto of them all, which is hilarious to call it, but Bitcoin. But yeah, I think this is just good. If you see this chart, it just gives you really good perspective of, hey, we're still early. There's likely still a lot more room to go. Now, look, generally, the returns are less and less on each cycle. Now, that could change. We have no idea, but that's just what it's been so far. It's only 4 data points in total. So I don't expect a 19x from the low, but I mean, if we're only at a 4x and we get a 10, that means there's still plenty of room to run. So yeah, still bullish.
Moving over to our top stories of the week. The first story has got to be Runes. What the heck is Runes? Are you guys paying attention to it? You need to be if you're not. I asked the milkman to give us a definition on Runes to explain this to you in a simple way. So here's what he said. Runes is a new fungible token standard on Bitcoin. It's similar to how Ethereum has fungible tokens like Maker or Shiba Inu or Doge, except these are on Bitcoin. Runes is supposed to be an upgrade from the existing fungible token standard on Bitcoin, which is BRC20, and it's designed to be more efficient and have cheaper transaction fees. It was created by Casey Rodemore, the same guy who developed Ordinals, which is the protocol that lets you create NFTs on Bitcoin. And the crazy part is all this hype, Runes has not even launched yet. Runes will launch along with the halving event, which, as we said earlier, is going to happen Friday evening. So what's all the hype about, Kai, and who else is really excited about Runes?
I mean, I think a lot of people are, but specifically Franklin Templeton, which is, if you guys don't know who that is, it is a massive, I mean, they have $1.5 trillion in assets under management. They've been around for, I don't know, centuries. Okay, maybe not that long, but for a long time. And they actually just released a 2-page report on Runes, which is wild. This thing's not even launched yet. And you got Franklin Templeton already releasing a report on this. So pretty wild. They basically compared it to some of the past numbers of things like Ordinals, which reached, I think, the Bitcoin NFT market cap, which reached like $2 billion. I think that's what it's at now. But anyway, they're sort of just talking about like how far can this go and how high can it go, comparing it to the market caps of tokens on top of Ethereum, on top of Solana. It's a really cool report there. Also, who's excited about it is Zeneca. And Zeneca had on the podcast just 2 days ago where we were talking about different crypto narratives, and he brought this up as one of the most exciting narratives in this cycle so far. So he's pumped about it. He said there's a bunch of people that are just like sitting there waiting to buy this, to buy some of these tokens when they launch. And so he thinks it's going to be a really big deal. And we talked about some of the top narratives. So I highly recommend you go check that out. He also explains kind of more details of what it is and how you can sort of capitalize on it. I haven't played around with this too much, so I don't have a lot of insight myself. The Bitcoin world, in terms of its NFTs and tokens, is generally pretty clunky. And so I don't know. For me, when I think about this, like, this is great. I think there's a lot of Bitcoin-specific people that are excited about this and the people that have been playing around with Ordinals, et cetera. But does this get the adoption like how Ethereum has adoption for fungible tokens or Solana? I don't know. I don't see it yet. But I mean, I never doubt Bitcoin. It continues to just like never die. And so let's see where it goes. But anyway, let's see where it goes.
I think the question that you're bringing up, which is an interesting question, is I think it gets the adoption in the short term.
Yeah,
because there's so much. We're in a cycle. There's so much opportunity. There's a lot of money to be made. Bitcoin is the largest token that in the world. So everybody knows it. So I think but long term, does this turn into a competing ecosystem? We're actually going to have a Bitcoin L2 panel, I think, on the podcast in the next few weeks. So you guys can watch out for that, and we'll dive more into it. The number that really stood out to me on this was this chart that is kind of floating around crypto Twitter that shows the fungible token opportunity on Bitcoin. And basically what it shows is that there is currently only $0.6 billion in fungible tokens on Bitcoin. So that's using the BRC20 token standard. That's in comparison to on Ethereum, $500 billion market cap for fungible tokens, and on Solana, $37 billion market cap. So, like, basic math has got to say that it's going to, like, I don't know, would you say, I would guess it could probably pass Solana's $37 billion within the next 12 months, which would be, what would that be? That would be a 70x.
Yeah, that would be nuts. I don't know. Does it go that, like, I think there's going to be a massive hype around this, just like there was with Ordinals. It's a bunch of people just buying things like crazy, kind of like NFTs last cycle. How big it can go, I don't, I mean, like, Bitcoin is a, what, 1.3-4 trillion dollar asset at this point. So that's a lot of capital that can easily flow into this stuff. So, like, it's a no-brainer that this thing is going to 10, 20, 30, 40, 50x in market cap in the short term, in my opinion.
Kai, not everyone is hyped up on runes. And there's been some talk about what this does in the Bitcoin ecosystem when you already have fungible token standards. What is that? What is the output of that? How does that flow together?
Yeah, Kyle Tamati, he tweeted out, he says, biggest problem in Bitcoin ecosystem is fragmentation of standards. So you have BRC20, inscriptions, runes, God knows how many L2s. UX is going to rapidly degrade. All ecosystem participants, wallets, indexers, market makers, devs will suffer. This is a weird thing about Bitcoin. On Ethereum and Solana, there's just like one token standard. I mean, there's a bunch of token standards, but for different types of tokens, right? And so you have ERC20s for fungible tokens, and that's it. And so the wallets just need to be able to work with ERC20s. The DEXs just need to work with ERC20s. So it's quite easy and simple, right? And same with on Solana. I don't know what the names of theirs are, but same thing. Whereas for Bitcoin, which there isn't a lot of good infrastructure as is, it's already a clunky experience over on the Bitcoin world. But now all the applications, the wallets, the tools, they have to now work for BRC20. And any upgrades that happen with BRC20, they have to be aware of those and fix those. Same with inscriptions, same with runes. And it's like, is there going to be more after this? Like, I don't know. Hopefully not. But it's a weird, confusing, and maybe competition is a good thing. And, you know, maybe this ends up working out. But it is a weird, fragmented system. We'll see what happens there. But I think he brings up a good point on that.
I want to know what you guys listening think. So our poll question this week is, will Bitcoin's fungible token market cap pass Solana's fungible token market cap within the next 12 months? Solana's token market cap right now is $37 billion. Kai, what's your answer?
12 months, I'm going no.
Okay.
Is that like Solana's? I think Solana's is going to go off over the next bit here. So I think Solana's will go over $100 billion probably by then.
Okay, so this is less, not that you don't think that runes will grow, but more so that you think Solana will grow faster.
No. So rate of growth, Bitcoin will be higher, way higher. But I just don't think it beats Solana because Solana's already at $37 billion and probably going to double.
Got a head start. Exactly. All right. Well, let us know what you guys think. Answer the poll on the podcast or make a comment on YouTube or on Twitter. We'd love to hear what you guys think. Let's go to the next story, which is Worldcoin has introduced Worldchain. This is a new ETH L2 built on top of the OP stack, although no one calls it the OP stack anymore. It's now called the Superchain. We're going to talk about that more about that in a minute. Quick stat here, Kai. Did you know that Worldcoin was using 44% of the OP mainnet activity on a daily basis and even spiked to up to 80% of the OP mainnet activity at a time? Like, I think they were ready for their own chain.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's the biggest application in crypto, and yet no one really talks about it still. Worldcoin has had the weirdest journey, I feel like, in crypto, dating back to, like, I don't know, 2021 or whenever they launched. It's a weird story, but I'll let you continue with the story of Worldchain.
Yeah, let me just tell you one thing that stood out to me about Worldchain that was super cool, which is one of the things that Worldcoin has talked a lot about, that team, is they're all about proof of humanity. And the reason that they care so much about proof of humanity is, well, there's several reasons, but one of them is we have a massive issue of scams and bots on the internet. And now that we have added a value layer to the internet, that is even expedited that issue, and it's getting even worse. And also we're adding AI, and it's going to get even worse and even worse. So this problem is growing exponentially, and WorldCoin wants to fix that. And so one way that they're going to fix that with WorldChain, which is fascinating, is they're going to give priority block space to humans who have a verified world ID. So if you have a verified world ID, what you will be able to do is, just like you can use your world ID when you log into Reddit or you log into a Discord server, you can use your world ID to prove humanity. Well, you can do the same thing by basically attaching your world ID to WorldChain. It uses a ZK proof, so they don't actually have any information about you, but you're just linking your world ID to the chain. And by linking your world ID to the chain, now anytime you use that chain on any app that is built on that chain, and I'm betting in the future any app that's on the super chain as well, eventually when this becomes interoperable, well, you have basically verified that you, because you're a verified human, you will get faster block space than any of the bots will, and you will pay less gas than any of the bots will. And so it'll prioritize the real people, which is exactly what we want.
You know who could use this?
Solana.
I mean, say mainly bots. And so if you could prioritize, that'd be fantastic. Yeah, it's a super cool idea. I think they have 5 million verified world ID holders currently, which is pretty good. I think they have 10 million people in total that are on the app. They're just not all verified that they're like, they're real humans. So it is the biggest, pretty much the biggest application in crypto currently. And I think what's really cool about this idea is no other chain, do you know if it is a bot or a human? And so there's like, we tell you all the time about active users or active wallets is really what you need to call it, active wallets on a chain, hundreds of thousands or whatever per day. But it's like, is that 10,000 people, you know, or is that 100,000 people? Or is that like, what is that? You actually have no idea. And so this is kind of a game changer of like, hey, it's actually this many people using it. We've never had that before. And so when I sort of think of the problem right now on X or Twitter that Elon is having is the issue of bots. And so he's thinking of charging everyone per engagement or thing that you do on Twitter. But like to do that in the TradFi world on like normal money rails just would never work, right? You can't hook up your credit card and pay with like 3 cents or 33% fees or whatever for that. But you'll have to use something on chain. But what would be even better is using something on chain that also has verified people, right? And so imagine if this gets big enough and WorldCoin really gets, you know, millions or hundreds of millions of people in important countries that are using these sort of applications, I could see something like Twitter just using this, right? Mm-hmm. Hey guys, go verify over here. And then that integrates into Twitter. That it makes so much more sense than anything that Elon's going to do. So they're already all verified over here. You don't have to go and verify now in the X app. So anyway, this is going to be true for a ton of apps. And I think it's going to be an area where just like a lot of apps are going to want to build over on WorldChain, because you know there's actually humans there, right? So I don't know. It's gonna be pretty cool. It doesn't launch, I think, until this summer. So it's not actually live yet. They just announced it.
Yeah, it's expected later this summer. The other super cool thing that stood out to us about WorldChain was their decision to build on top of the OP stack and join the other leading builders, Base, Mode Network, and so many more, who are building on the OP stack and creating what is being referred to as the Superchain. Amazing branding by the OP team, by the way. Like Superchain, I just love it. I want to be part of the Superchain too. Kai, you had a great tweet all about the Superchain. What are your thoughts about it?
Yeah, so I just said the optimism Superchain is a beast. They have Base, which is like consumer crypto. That's what they're building for, and they're attracting. So basically, before I read all these, you could think of all the different layer twos in the Superchain as building their own niche, right? And right now they're all fragmented, and that's fine. Interoperability will come and it'll integrate all this together. But you have Base, which is building the consumer crypto app because of Coinbase. You have Mode, which is building sort of the DeFi niche. You have Zora building the NFT niche. You have WorldCoin with verified credentials, WorldChain, sorry. You have public goods funding, and then you have Optimism, which is kind of like general purpose. And I'm sure there's more that I've missed here. And there'll probably be many more that we don't even know of yet. And I mean, guess you have Degen Chain, which is for, I don't know, the Degens, that's that niche. But eventually, like right now, your capital is all fragmented. But in the next year or so, there will be an interoperability feature that will basically make all these chains function as one. And so if you are have your capital on, I don't know, WorldChain, and you want to go do something on Base, you won't need to like leave and go to a different, you know, bridge first and then bridge it across. And then you can go interact. You can just do it all in one go. So you just go to the application that's on Base. You'll do the interaction. You'll just auto bridge it, auto swap it, and you'll be over there. And once this happens, you have all these niches that sort of merge into one. And I think that's just going to be an incredible, incredible experience once that happens, and super powerful to combine all these different sort of network effects that they're building on each chain into one. It's going to be a really big deal. And I think a lot of people are sort of sleeping on that. People still think L2s are just super fragmented and they're never good. You know, Solana's way better. Solana's great. Not seeing anything wrong there. I think this interoperability tech is coming. We talk about it a little bit in the Mode episode coming out in a couple of weeks. And I think it's going to be massive when all this kind of conforms into one.
Couldn't agree more. It's so exciting. Let's go from WorldCoin launching WorldChain on the OP stack to another large L2 that has just launched, also on top of Ethereum, but this one on the Polygon stack rather than the OP team. So a little bit of a competition across here. And this is OKX has launched Xlayer. This is going to enable their 50 million users to get access on chain and to come on chain. Now, for those who don't know, OKX is one of the largest crypto exchanges in the world. It's actually number two this past month behind Binance. And this new L2 is really going to allow the users on OKX to now deposit and withdraw crypto onto the L2 via the exchange. There's an on-ramp that we've seen happen a lot with Base. And so you can imagine a lot of these people that have just been buying tokens on OKX, but not really doing much with them, not taking action on chain. Now they have a direct on-ramp to do that. There's already 170 on-chain apps that are built on the Xlayer with this launch.
Yeah, this could be the next Base, right? Like the reason Base is so good and has been so impactful is because it has Coinbase to fund all of its users. If you use the Coinbase app and you want to buy a token in Coinbase that doesn't exist, you still see that token. Like Degen, for example, is available in Coinbase, but you just can't buy it in Coinbase. It just pushes you to go and buy it on Base. And they have a nice wallet UX and the brand. So if you think about the UX here, the branding for Coinbase, Coinbase wallets, and Coinbase like Base chain is all the same. So from a user perspective, it just feels like it's one thing, right? It's not very clunky because it's just they've made it so seamless that they can push users to do certain actions right on their chain within their own wallet. So it's so seamless. And so we've seen obviously Base do so well because of that. And I think Coinbase has 108 million users that have ever been on there. I think 12 billion are active, something like that. OKX is generally the third biggest. I think you said it's second right now, generally third. So it's a big deal. And now they have their layer two and they also have a wallet. OKX has a really good Web3 wallet as well. Mm-hmm. So they're going to create this same like fully branded seamless UX to move their users on chain. And then Binance has already obviously done this with BNB. And so every time a big exchange launches a chain, brings a lot of activity on chain. So I think we're going to see something really big here with OKX. And interesting to see them do this over on Polygon, though. I wonder if each... So there's the Polygon superchain, let's call it. You know,
they're calling it the Xlayer. That's yeah, the Xlayer. Which and is not nearly as good branding as superchain.
And then you have Arbitrum, which I forget what theirs is called.
Arbitrum.
Orbit, yeah. Okay. So it's just interesting. You've got the superchain has Coinbase. You've got Xlayer has OKX. Arbitrum, we wonder what they're going to do. I guess they're working with Robinhood, so there's sort of one. But interestingly, Ryan Adams, our friend over at Bankless, he tweeted out, he says, exchanges within Ethereum L2, and he has like a little checkbox, Coinbase checkbox, Bybit checkbox, OKX, Bybit's, I believe, is Mantle's. And then you have Kraken and Binance, which don't have an L2. Binance obviously has a chain. Kraken doesn't have an L2, but they have announced a while ago that they are going to launch one. They just don't, we don't know where it's going to happen yet. I would bet it happens on Arbitrum, just so that each one of these big super chains has their own, but let's see. But it's only a matter of time before we collect them all, Ryan says. First exchanges, then fintechs, then banks. Every asset is a token, every bank is a chain. I love that.
All right, let's go from the ETH ecosystem over to Solana, where, as we mentioned earlier in the Market Watch, there's a lot of FUD on Solana, rough week on the price, but the Solana devs, they don't sleep, they don't stop working. And they released a patch earlier this week to deal with all these congestion issues. Kai, did this patch fix it? Did it serve the results that everyone was looking for?
I mean, it's getting better. They're not going to fix it, that's for sure, but it is getting better. I think it was, at its worst, it was about 75% of transactions were not going through. It is down to like, I don't know, I think it made its way to like 50. Although that's really not the issue that most people are having. Those like failed transactions or those charts that are going around on Twitter, I think we might have talked about this last week, Jay, but those are sort of a different situation. That's because of bots, which WorldChain would help with. The issues that most people are having when they can't get a transaction through is actually between the messaging layer. So there's an issue with the technology they have that when you put a transaction through on a wallet, it has to tell the blockchain to like go and execute it. And so that message isn't even making it to the blockchain. So this isn't even a problem of Solana. It's a problem of this messaging layer, which interestingly enough, they just upgraded to this new messaging layer. I think it was a couple of months ago to prevent these big halts that the chain has. And so they upgraded to this one called, it's called Quick, and it's actually designed by Google. And so they updated it just like really quick, and they just like moved over to it, and they didn't fully think it all through. So there's just been some bugs. And so they just basically need to fix some of these bugs. They've known about them. It's just has been getting worse because, as we'll show you in a sec, Solana is just ripping in terms of transactions. So anyway, they put some patches in. It's not going to fix this anytime soon. But with things like Fire Dancer coming out at some point this year, which is basically a complete rebuild of Solana's code base, those will fix these from like first principles. So it's not like patching it together. It's actually just redesigning it all. So we're like months to probably more than a year away from this like really getting fixed. And then they also need to make a lot of other adjustments. But this should help. I think you went to send me a transaction on Solana yesterday, Jay, and it still didn't go through. So it's definitely not perfect, but it is getting better. But for those of you that are wondering why Solana is having all these problems, we've got a chart up on screen here. This is part of the pro report that comes out on Saturday talking about Solana and its issues. The reason why Solana is having these problems, Jay, really is because it is a problem that no other blockchain has. And it has nothing to do with like its tech. It is that Solana is currently trying to process billions of transactions a week. Billions. Okay. Every month right now. So last month, I think this is from March, it almost reached about 2.25 billion transactions in one month. One month. There is no other chain even remotely close to this. Okay. So on this chart, you see the pink line. That's Solana currently doing over 2 billion a month. The closest to this is Ethereum plus all of its L2s, which is like, I don't know, there's like 50, 60, 70, 80 L2s, whatever it is. All of them combined reaches about 400 million transactions, okay, in the month of March. And Solana is 2.2 billion. So like, it's not even close what Solana is currently doing. And the fact that it's even able to execute all those is pretty freaking amazing. And so if you haven't guessed, the pro report that's coming out on Saturday is a bullish pro report, even though most people are very scared. And I mean, had such a massive pullback. I think the opportunity on Solana is still very, very massive. And so in that report, I actually talk about my price predictions for this bull cycle. I talk about when you should sell and why you should sell, and talk about what you can do with your Solana right now to actually make a little bit more bang for your buck. So it's a beast of a pro report. Make sure you are signed up to go pro so you can check that out. For those that are already pro, you'll see it in your inbox on Saturday.
Can't wait to start my Saturday with a glass of milk and Milk Road Pro. Ain't no better way to do it. Okay, let's go over to some airdrop FUD, maybe airdrop news. Look, we know at Milk Road, we know you guys love airdrops because who doesn't love free money? But there was several airdrops this past week that maybe, I shouldn't say this past week, there's been several airdrops in the past month that have had large drops post-airdrop. And this is what we know will happen. There's going to be a lot of airdrop farmers that flock to a new protocol or a new app in order to capitalize on farming that airdrop. Well, what happens after the incentives are done? People leave. Problem being, obviously, there can be a large drop in price, and we've seen that with a few. First, there was Parcel, which since their airdrop, I've got up here on DeFi Llama, since their airdrop, look at this chart, Kai. Since their airdrop, they peaked at about 180 million TVL on March 30th, and now they've just fallen off a cliff in the last 2 weeks. They're down to 82 million TVL, basically a 50% drop in their TVL because there's not as much reason to use the chain. Then we had W, which we've talked about previously. W came out at $1.04. Today, it's at 60 cents. So more than a 50% drop in that price. Usage in the protocol. W's usage in the protocol has not dropped as much in terms of in comparison to the price, because W has pretty strong product market fit and a lot of people are using it on a regular basis. But obviously, there's a lot of people who want to take profits after an airdrop. And so we've seen a big drop in that price. And then Tensor, which just airdropped about 10 days ago, came out at $2 on April 9th and now is sitting at 85 cents. So more than a 50% drop there. This is something that we're just seeing across a lot of airdrops. Kai, are you concerned about this? I know, you know, we're talking about farming airdrops to our readers. Is this still something that's worth their time? What are your thoughts?
I mean, a lot of people are. So here's the funny thing. A couple weeks ago, everyone was like, oh my God, airdrops are huge. They're coming in at such massive valuations. And then like 1 week later, now everyone's like, oh my God, airdrops are over. All the tokens are tanking. It's like, guys, every token just tanked. What do you mean? Didn't you listen to the beginning of the show about the market watch? Altcoins got absolutely wrecked. All of them, not just the airdrop tokens. Yes, generally after you drop a token, your token will go down, right? For the first little bit anyway. But if markets are good and things are pumping and there's a lot of demand at that point, then your token might continue to go up. But it just depends on market structure. Right now, it just happens that if you drop the token in the last couple weeks, well, we have been in a bit of a pullback and we just had an aggressive one last week. So anyone who dropped their token 2 weeks ago, obviously is getting wrecked. People need their money. They're getting liquidated. There's $2 billion in liquidation. So I don't think it's an issue of airdrops. I think there's going to be a bunch more big airdrops coming our way. It's just all about market structure. And right now, we're in a bit of a pullback. It's fine. Maybe it's even a good time to buy some of these airdrops, something like Wormhole, which actually, as you said, has product market fit. Now, of course, I mean, thankfully, I sold my Wormhole at about $1.30, so I did really good on that one. So I'm super stoked. Talking out of the podcast, at least. But
I don't know how you did sell it on Solana with all the congestion in that one. I'm impressed that you got it through.
The thing is, though, it's like it's not even about the airdrop tokens. It's when there's a pullback, this is how it works, right? It's extremely volatile in crypto. Altcoins get wrecked. It happens every time. And then once we get past this pullback and Bitcoin and ETH start to go up again, altcoins will go up 300% in a matter of weeks, 400%. But again, there will be a pullback in a few months from now and the same thing will happen. I don't know why people always are surprised by this. It's just, it always happens. So anyway, this is what it is.
Kai, we want to make sure that everybody listening to this and reading Milk Road is taking advantage of all the airdrops that are coming up. April is airdrop season. I mean, it feels like every month is airdrop season right now. You've been working around the clock. Like, I feel like you were working at midnight last night, putting something together to make sure that everybody here listening can take advantage. Kai, what have you put together for everybody?
Yeah, we get a lot of people asking about what we're doing with our capital, our research team, where should they be looking into airdrops and asking how to do it, et cetera. And so we decided, you know what, let's just create a guide. Let's just put something together that we're going to update on an ongoing basis, because obviously this is changing all the time. And we'll just guide people like, here's all the airdrops happening right now on Ethereum. Here's them all on Solana. Here's all of them on Cosmos. And here's what you should do to get more points out of it. And link break to it so you don't get rugged. Because the other problem is a lot of people are trying to farm and they go to some like raw link on Twitter and people end up getting their wallets drained. And we hate to see that. So we created a top airdrop guide on our website. And basically it explains airdrops in case you just don't really get what this stuff is, why they exist, what to look for, how to find them. How do you know if they're going to be big or not, et cetera? So it's like, it's got a lot of details. But the thing I know that most of you guys are going to love is that we have our top crypto airdrops that are recommended by Milk Road. It's categorized in top airdrops in the Ethereum ecosystem, a bunch of others in the Ethereum ecosystem. We have the top ones in the Solana ecosystem. Cosmos, we're building out right now, so that one's coming soon. So bear with us on that. But all the details you need, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see it right now. There's links to every single one. There's a bunch of details there. We'll be updating these on an ongoing basis. So you could always come back to this page, milkroad.com/airdrops. It is available for free. This is not a paywall piece of content. Anyone can access this on the internet. And we highly recommend that you do if you want to get involved in getting some free money and not just getting free money, testing out new protocols and being a part of this on-chain revolution. This is a great way to do it and get rewarded for it. So I highly recommend you guys check this out. I just want to highlight. As I was building this out, I was obviously setting up my own portfolio for this and getting a bunch of airdrops. And I ended up coming up with a nice strategy where you can take your ETH and basically you can hold four different versions of ETH So if you hold four tokens, basically they're all different forms of ETH, you can farm 10 massive airdrops all at the same time and get a bunch of extra yield on top of it. And it's, I don't want to say no risk or low risk. Obviously, all these have some risk, but it's like they're all very highly touted, like vetted projects with big backers and solid teams. So it's like, this isn't like going down the crazy risk curve here in terms of airdrops. It is really, really cool. And I was like, whoa, this is huge. And so what we're doing is in the Milk Road newsletter tomorrow, which hopefully most of you listeners are already subscribed to. If not, the link is in the show notes below. Coming out is a section just in tomorrow's newsletter, which is going to show you this airdrop strategy where you can take some of your ETH and put it into these four tokens and do a bunch of things to get 10 different airdrops all from that. And we're going to show you exactly with links and kind of walk you through how to do it. So it's going to be really cool. I don't want to explain it here on the podcast. It honestly will just take too long. So just make sure you're subscribed to the newsletter and check it out. It's on the free side, so don't worry.
Love it, Kai. Bringing the nice, delicious, creamy whole milk for everybody in the ecosystem. Okay, let's go to our new segment. Super excited about this. In case you missed it this week, if you Google crypto and ask Google for the definition of crypto, it says quite simply, the future of money. Google knows what's up. In case you missed it, Dubai is flooding this week. Token 2049, one of the biggest events in the space. I'm super jealous I'm not there. I feel like everybody we know is there right now. And Dubai is flooding. Apparently, it never rains in Dubai, or they have some way to make it rain in Dubai. But man, it is not looking good. There is people wakeboarding and surfing around Dubai. I've got a video up on the screen here. We got another video coming up here of a guy riding a jet ski around Dubai between like down a regular street. It's just been pandemonium. But then, Kai, you said right before we record, you saw this. What did Bonk do at Token 2049? Just today, yesterday?
I think it's happening like pretty much now. But so in Dubai, they have this thing where it's kind of like an advertising placement, I think. But it's a bunch of drones that light up to put some sort of picture. It could be words, whatever. And they've done one that is like Bonk's face, like the dog, inside of like a circle. And then it's got like three exclamation marks. And so floating above Dubai, the skyline is like, I don't know, it's probably thousands of drones all making the Bonk face, which is maybe it's a call against who's the one over on Dogwood Hat that is on the Las Vegas Sphere. It kind of resembles that, but over in Dubai. So quite interesting. The meme coins are doing some big marketing stuff.
Speaking about meme coins, in case you missed it, Elon Musk tweeted about Doge this week. Here he goes again talking about Doge. Is it going to be the crypto payment platform for Twitter or X? We'll see. Also this week, the Bitcoin guy. So this is a guy who photobombed Janet Yellen in a questioning period in Congress. And he's in the background holding a piece of paper that just says buy Bitcoin on it. And it's a great photo bomb.
Legendary photo.
And he is selling this piece of paper that he wrote buy Bitcoin on. It probably took him like literally a minute to write this on this piece of paper. And it's not even like he's a fancy artist or anything like that, but he's selling it because it's a piece of history and it's expected to sell for more than 5 Bitcoin. So shout out to the guy who photobombed Janet Yellen and is going to make upwards of $300,000 for doing it. Well done. And in case you missed it, Hans Zimmer, one of my favorite musical producers in movies. I don't know, Kai, if you know Hans Zimmer. He has made the music for Inception, The Dark Knight, Pirates of the Caribbean, Gladiator, The Lion King, James Bond, all like major movies. He does the music score for them. And I don't know how this happened, but somehow Hans Zimmer linked up with Justin's son and Tron, and he made an anthem for Tron. We're going to play it in a second here. This is like orchestra level music for Tron. I don't understand why Justin's son did this. I'm guessing he paid millions of dollars.
Yeah, I was going to say, he definitely paid him for this. Yeah, he's multi-billionaire from crypto. So he's a weird dude, but that's hilarious. Let's take a listen.
Well, if that didn't get you fired up, I don't know what does. That actually kind of feels more like pre-bedtime music to me, to be honest. And in case you missed it, last one, the Bored Apes floor hit the lowest point since 2021, down 90% from the all-time high. Wow, wow. NFTs in the tank right now. But we're going to talk about NFTs in a second in Agree, Disagree. Okay, with that, let's go over to Agree, Disagree, where we pick our favorite tweets of the week and tell you if we agree or disagree with them. As always, if you want us to talk about tweets that you see on the crypto Twitter sphere, be sure to tag us in them throughout the week and we'll bring them into the show. First up, we have GCR. He says, if you've been sidelined, believe this is a good opportunity to scale into high conviction tokens. If you're fully invested, just survive. Hold your spot positions and do not capitulate. Someone once said, liquidations are a forced transfer of wealth from traders who need leverage to wealthy spot buyers. I was enjoying retirement from social media, but don't want to see my brothers get shaken out when the future is still so bright.
For those of you who don't know who GCR is, I mean, the comment right below this sums it up. It's just all capital letters and just says, he's back, ! GCR is like one of the legendary greatest traders in crypto ever. This guy took like, I forget what the numbers are. It's something like, I don't know, $10,000 wallet to like billions, basically, like next level, this guy. But he stopped tweeting about crypto about a little over a year ago. And out of nowhere, he came back. And he comes back after the dip on the weekend and says, now's your time to buy. And yeah. So if you're fading this dip, you don't know what you're talking about because GCR, he knows everything. And so you need to be buy. That's for damn sure. And so I full out agree, and I will agree with everything that GCR says always.
Okay, next up, Andrew Kang says, crypto will continue to expand because it is vastly better than both casinos and other trading markets in terms of volatility, variety, complexity, social component, and higher odds of developing an edge. It is simply the most engaging multiplayer money game.
I agree. It is. I mean, there are more reasons why crypto.
No, these are the only reasons.
Like, it is also a 10x in like the way that we move money around the world and the way that like so many different things. So like, let's not forget that. Unfortunately, like most of what we do right now is just literally a casino. And yes, it is the greatest casino in the world. It's global. It's frictionless, permissionless, etc. And so it is the greatest casino, but it's also the greatest many other things that actually improve people's lives. Not saying that money doesn't improve your life if you happen to win in a casino. I'm sure if you won the lottery, that would improve your life. But there are many other better benefits to the blockchain.
Well, you're not the only one that thinks that, because I had to throw in this next tweet just to feed off that previous one. This is from Tang Yan. He says, there are two components to crypto. Number one, largest casino in the world where you can speculate 24/7. Number two, building foundational tech for a 100 times better, more open internet and financial system. Not mutually exclusive. It helps tremendously to be clear on what framework you're using at each point.
I love that. And obviously, completely agree. We both just kind of said the same thing. And I think they both are a net positive. Like, gambling is going to be a thing. It's been a thing. And it's getting bigger and bigger as the internet continues to proliferate. And so, like, it just is. And crypto happens to make it way better. But there are also many other better things, like he said. And so, yeah, there's plenty of good use cases for crypto. And I think we're finally starting to see many of them build out, sort of.
Still maybe undecided on the meme coin use case, where Jack Nywald says, prediction, micro meme season is over. Micro caps aren't worth playing anymore. Established players have become Lindy and will run. A portfolio of the top 10 memes will outperform any combination of pumped up fun shit coins you can come up with.
Interesting. I actually asked Zeneca this on the podcast on Wednesday. So you guys, again, if you haven't listened to that, check it out. I don't think so. I actually disagree. It's still so early in the cycle. And if we judge by how ICOs went and by how NFTs went, there's still plenty of room in the cycle for a bunch of shit to still pop off. And so I think there's still going to be a bunch of small memes that are going to do well. I don't know about Lindy. I guess there is Lindy in meme coins. I'm not going to say no to that. Obviously, Dogecoin has that. But I think there's just still a lot of innovation, and people are just having so much freaking fun, and retail's still not even fully here yet. So I think there's still plenty to run in the small micro meme season as well.
From memes to NFTs, the hype of the last cycle, NFTstats.eth or Punks9059 says, incentivized bidding on Blur has been a disaster, and most NFTs are going to zero regardless. Both of these things can be true at the same time if you stop being so tribal. Kai, do you think most NFTs are going to zero?
Yes, but I think I keep watching and go, okay, when is the market going to come back? And I think it's going to come back. We've also touched on this one again in the Zeneca episode. It was a banger. And I think it comes back. It comes back differently, of course. And so I think most of the stuff that did well last cycle probably won't go back to all-time highs. Just like what was true last cycle with like all the ICO tokens, many of them did not go to all-time highs last cycle. And just like a lot of tokens that launched last cycle won't go to all-time highs this time around either. It's just how it always works. And now it works like normal business too. But there will be some that come back and do really well. The one I'm interested in, you just mentioned, is Bored Ape Yacht Club. It is down like below 10 ETH on its floor price, which is nuts to think about. And I just, like, there's just, to me, I don't know. There's no way that it doesn't come back, but we'll see.
Well, you know who agrees with you is Yatsui, who is the chairman of Animoca Brands. And over the weekend, he spent over $100,000 buying 10 apes, which he says, in my opinion, are a steal as one of the most important NFTs of Web3. Plus, he also bought some Mochaverse NFTs because, yeah, of course, he's going to pump his own bags. And then he says, Blur has done a lot of damage to the NFT space. And in my opinion, we all owe a significant debt of gratitude to the legend and lore of Bored Ape Yacht Club has brought to the ecosystem. It's time for apes together strong again.
Yeah, I don't know. This is one that if I thought the NFT market was coming back soon, I was like, oh, maybe I should buy Bored Ape Yacht Club. But it was like the thing that drove Bored Ape Yacht Club was the culture in terms of like it had Eminem and like, I don't know, I think it was like Steph Curry and all that. But like most of them capitulated and sold out. The celebrities that have Bored Ape Yacht Clubs are all gone. And then like they've kind of been a bit of a laughing stock, to be honest. They've had some weird situations at their events and like, I don't know, they're pretty cringe community. I don't know. Maybe the cool effect of Bored Ape Yacht Clubs is just gone. It doesn't come back. And maybe there's something new that's cool.
I think the hard thing to know when it comes to NFTs is there's those NFTs that are going to be pieces of art.
CryptoPunks.
Yeah. And the question is, does Bored Ape Yacht Club have that? It seems to be one of the only other ones that could have that. And if you bet on that, then, and that's what you're betting on right now, because from a business perspective, I don't have the confidence to go bet on Bored Ape Yacht Club. The only NFT collection that I have the confidence to bet on from a business perspective is Pudgy Penguin, because they're building real revenue and a sustainable business, and they are actively trying to flow value back to their NFT holders in different licensing ways. So they're proving a model that I think can be sustainable. But other than them,
this is why I debate so much about Yacht Club, because like CryptoPunks, I think they're going to smash it and continue to be good because of Providence. They were like the first, like they have that. And then they also didn't try to do anything with it.
Yeah,
they just were like, hey, yeah, we just are what we are. They're like a meme coin, right? We just are what we are. And if you like Ethereum community, Ethereum vibes, then like you like CryptoPunk, it just, that's what it is. Bored Ape Yacht Club is not that, right? They tried to be something of utility that turned into a bunch of cringe nonsense that a lot of people don't love. Now, in a hype cycle, when retail all comes back and people are just like flying high and everyone's buying Lambos again, that vibe probably does come back because people just love to, like the Bored Ape Yacht Club vibe was like, I'm rich, you know, and we're going to do this. And so like, at some point that world comes back. And so that's the only reason why I think these might actually have a chance. But what's funny is that creating utility in these Bored Ape Yacht Clubs probably did more damage than anything.
It's hilarious. This is a great point. Great point. Okay, next up, we've got Jen who says, I think Azuki Anthology release is very similar to the first time we saw Pudgies hit the shelf at Walmart. If you know, you know. If you don't, you're about to find out. Basically saying that Azukis are the next Pudgy. Kai, you got a take on this? I do.
I don't even know what Azuki Anthology is, so please enlighten me.
Azuki Anthology is they're taking the IP and they're turning it into content in the form of TV, video, that type of content. So they're making like anime stuff.
Right.
Look, I think that this is the problem with NFTs is Azuki, which is a great community, no hate on the community, incredible builders, building a lot of stuff. But what are you building? I'm still not convinced that you're building something that has actual product market fit. Right now, you're taking your IP and you're building it into a like TV show or movie? Like, does that go? I have no idea. That feels like a big bet to me. So I think Azuki continues to do well because of anime, and they're the largest anime collection, and anime is massive in Asia, and Asia loves crypto. So that's the only reason I think Azuki continues to hold their floor where they are, but I don't have a lot of convictions. I'm certainly not. I'm not buying any NFTs right now, I'll tell you that.
The only can't top.
AJ?
No.
Got him.
Last one is from Fiscantes. He says, crypto times AI has two major camps. One camp thinks it's total vaporware, but trades the AI tokens. Other camp thinks it's total vaporware and avoids the AI token. In my opinion, only few people today really believe in a meaningful crypto times AI intersection apart from some incentivized deep in use cases. Very much a contrarian position at this point.
I mean, there's plenty of real use cases for crypto and AI. I think it's going to be a massive synergy. We wrote about it as well in a few reports. And so I don't agree with this, although I do agree that like 90-something% of it at least is vaporware. And so he was right. A lot of people see that vaporware and they either buy it and trade it anyway or they don't. The other problem is like, I think a lot of people don't realize that. They just are like, wow, AI, crypto, this must be the next big thing. And they buy these tokens that just like, there's not even AI in this thing. Yeah. Or just like, there's no reason for the two to be together. You don't need one or the other. And so it is a massive hype cycle. And I think this one still continues to get worse. But from all that, there is some small percentage that is going to be absolutely incredible and have some game-changing stuff.
Woohoo! That is a wrap on today's Milk Road Radio. Thank you so much for listening in, everybody. I hope you feel like you are on top of the markets and the news that is happening in this space. As we said, if you want to capitalize on the upcoming airdrops, check out the free Milk Road airdrop guide that we just dropped on our website, milkroad.com/airdrops, and make sure you take advantage and make sure you subscribe to the Milk Road newsletter. On Friday in the newsletter, we're going to give you some alpha on how you can use your ETH and capitalize on 10 airdrops in a very simple, low risk, not financial advice, but maybe a low risk way or a mostly low risk way. We want to make sure that you guys are always getting your milk and getting your money too. That's a wrap, everybody. Have yourselves a great weekend. If you're in Dubai, I hope you got a paddle. If you're at home, wherever you are, touch some grass, take a deep breath, and let yourself not look at the prices for a sec, but maybe keep DCAing in because it's a dip and we like to buy the dip. See you in Discord. See you on Twitter. See you around, fellas. See you around, folks. Have a great weekend. Thank you for listening to Milk Road Radio, the easiest path to get smarter about crypto. If you like this episode, share it and hit subscribe or follow so you don't miss out on the next one. There's also a link in the description to our free 5-minute daily newsletter where we simplify crypto for you while making you laugh. And if you're willing to step up your crypto investing game, then we'll leave a link to Milk Road Pro as well, your number one resource to help you invest successfully in crypto. One final note, this podcast is for educational purposes only, and nothing we say is financial advice. Crypto is risky, so you should never invest more than you're willing to lose. Thank you, friends, and we'll see you in the next one.